Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-520-1KFI for Orange County and, you know, the outlying areas, L.A. County, 520-1KFI. Tim and Neil auditioning for that afternoon show. That's what I'm hearing anyway. And Carell and Andrew auditioning for the morning show. That's what I'm hearing, too. I'm hearing stuff. Don't ask me where I'm hearing it, Mike. But I am hearing things, and they're sounding good. They're sounding sharp, fresh off their suspension, and back in the good graces of KFI. Tim and Neil, hey, yeah! Just a publicity stunt. Just a note to Don Barrett and everybody else. It was a publicity stunt. They weren't suspended. They weren't fired. They weren't giving a leave of absence. They weren't giving liberty. They weren't given a 2-week leave in San Diego with some Chinese girls. It was just one big publicity stunt. That's what I'm hearing. And now they're in there auditioning for the afternoon show. 1-800-521-KFI is our number here. And Adolf Eichmann says it isn't his fault. But that wasn't what I wanted to tell you. It had something to do with what's going on at the radio station. Oh, I know what it is. I just heard. I got some news today that I thought was really interesting. Excuse me. I don't know. About 6 months or so ago, I brought two of my stepkids in to the station to do a show called Strategy Brothers, because the kids are completely into Nintendo 64, Sony PlayStation, and Dreamcast. Now, you may not be interested in it, but that doesn't make any difference. The fact is, there are millions and millions and millions of pre-adolescent, preschool even, kids who are, and high school kids for that matter, who are completely stoked and stoned on Nintendo 64, every manner of video game. And they speak a language that you and I don't speak. And Pokemon, too. Yellow, blue. Do you play any of this stuff, Craig? N64. The language that is spoken is like a language. It's intriguing. It is completely indecipherable. And it's something you could listen to for hours and not really know what the hell these kids are talking about. And if you put together the sound of two, like a 12 and a 14-year-old boy talking to other kids of like mind and age, when I say like mind, I mean guys like Craig Taylor, and age, I mean guys like Mike Schaefer, these people present a rather fascinating show. So I'm talking to a guy out of New York today. He says, you know that show that you had with the two little boys talking about Nintendo 64, Strategy Brothers? I said, yeah. He says, I think I can sell that show. I think I can get that show sold to a radio station. Now, I had approached our great program director, David G. Hall, about this. I said, David, what do you think? I hear some great things. I didn't hear it because, I don't listen to your show. I said, thanks a lot for that. He said, that's okay. But I heard some nice things from Michelle Cube, who is our great executive producer at KFI. And Michelle was a big proponent of the show. She liked it. She said, we ought to give it a weekend shot. I said, this would be revolutionary. No more of the hot wind, guys like me, the hot bag of air crap that's going on, whether it's weekend or weekday, something new, something refreshing, a couple of punk kids sitting there talking about video games. The whole decadent, decrepit, degraded American society, the whole vilification of our society, right there in glaring, living technicolor on your radio on a Saturday morning or something, and it's fun listening to kids sitting on their ever-widening cans talking about video games. They're not out riding their bikes anymore. They're not out playing with a BB gun and shooting birds and putting cats' eyes out. They're playing video games. What a great country. So David says, well, I hear it's pretty good. I don't know. Well, like I said, I think your show sucks, so I haven't listened to it. So have you got a tape? I said, yeah. So we gave him 2 hours of tape. Haven't heard a thing. Now, I respect David Hall because I think he is the greatest program director in talk radio in this country. And if he's not interested in the Strategy Brothers, I got to say to myself, the show blows and it's got no hope. And it was just a little dream that I had. And, it was my moment in the sun to produce a show. I do a show, but do I get to produce one? No, this would be one that I would produce. So David was not interested or didn't get back to us on it. So it just sits and rots until today, I find out that there are two radio stations in this city interested in the Strategy Brothers show. Yeah, today I find out that there is a major programming chief of a major radio network interested in the Strategy Brothers show. It ain't this one. It ain't the Premier Network. It's another one. But equally as wealthy, equally as well-run, equally as smarmy, equally as oily. And I said, Jesus, you know, so I'm talking today. So this was a call from my agent, which I regret to say that I have one only because I've been screwed so many times over the vast, wonderful 27 years of my career. Don't get me wrong. It's all been just a joy getting screwed and raked over the coals for 27 years. Then I just went out and hired an agent for a kick, just to see if I could make a little more money. And hey, presto, I am. So anyway, he's saying to me, this Strategy Brothers show, I can sell it, and I can sell it in the L.A. market. So what's up with David? I said, he thinks the show sucks. I don't think he wants it because he hasn't said anything about it. So he said, well, does he mind if it goes across the street? I said, well,
Phil Hendry show coming down the line in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. And don't forget at philhendryshow.com, all of your needs can be at least observed and perhaps taken care of at philhendryshow.com. The very finest in crap is served up there, whether it's some stuff that you may want in terms of CD material of our show. You can also check out Bobby Dooley's Western States Homeowners Association newsletter, as well as Margaret Gray's column, A Little Bird Told Me, and other interesting tidbits that we will add and continue to, it will continue to multiply. Oh man, have I got to get, I don't know, some methadone? I don't know what it is. It'll continue to be there, and you'll be able to enjoy it by going to philhendryshow.com and then getting bored and leaving it. However, before you do, please, please, oh please, get that 1999 CD, Communism Is Neat. It's the best of the Phil Hendry Show 99. Now, I don't know whether I'm talking out of school with the 98s, 97. I don't know, but get the 99. We're up to 95 grand. We've been stalled at 95 grand for about 3 days, haven't we? We haven't? I could swear to God we've been sitting at 95 grand for about 6 months. Really, it just seems as... you mean it's only been 2 days? All right. $95,000 is a wonderfully generous total for the great people at my friend's place, but we're hoping to goose that total up even higher. And with your wonderful help and your great generosity, we can help a whole lot of kids get this whole thing figured out, man. You know, you think that you're stumbling around and you don't have it figured out, and I think that every morning I get out of bed, I don't know which end is up, but these poor kids that are living out on the street, they have got to get a fighting chance, and hopefully we can give it to them with our donations, generous though they may be, paltry though they may be, to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. This is where the world's youth comes to finally win a Grammy, but before they win that big Grammy, before they win that big Academy Award, before they are Bill Gates's lieutenant, before they're the head of a studio, first they got to eat out of a garbage can and get AIDS. And that's generally what's happening to them, so somebody somewhere's got to give a crap, and the people at my friend's place do. And they've been doing it since 1988. I appreciate whatever you can offer up. Buy our CD. It's pretty funny. It's better than most of the crap that's... I'm serious. If it comes to radio show CDs, it's right up there with any of them. Best of Phil Hendry Show, 1999. Pick it up today at philhendryshow.com. We're moving from one house to another. Today, it really kicked in hard and heavy, baby. Today, the Packers came. Not the Green Bay Packers, but the guys that stick the glasses in the box after putting the newspaper in the middle of the glass first. Yeah, I watched them, Craig. They do it, just like you and I used to do it. Just like when we used to move when we was bachelors, when we was hobos, when we were guys that just were stumbling around trying to find that cup of Nescafe, Sanka, before Starbucks, back when we were stirring it with our finger. Yeah, those days. We are moving ourselves, putting the newspaper into the glass, rolling whatever it is up in the thing, and then finally figuring out, oh, to hell with it, man. I'll just throw it in the glass. I'm only going 3 blocks. The guys came today. They're packing that stuff, and they're heading it on over to the new house, which has got, get a load of this house I'm buying, Mike. Every door has got a different key. Every door. I got a key for the front door. I got 2 keys, one for the one back door, another one for the other back door. That's 3 different keys. I got another key for a side door. That's 4. And I got a key for another door to the garage. I got 5 keys to this house. Today I'm trying to get in the garage. I go, where is the key? I got the key to the house. Why won't it work for this? Maria brought the box of keys with her. I mean, I got a box of like 20 keys that I'm trying each one. Think it's time for a locksmith? Maybe. Maybe not. The way things are going, I don't think I can afford it because I'm spending money hand over fist. I can't afford to move into this house. I cannot afford it. And I'm going to be living hand to mouth from paycheck to paycheck for at least the next 6 months. I'm telling you guys with all honesty, I'm scared. I'm real scared. I'll tell you why, because I went ahead and made the big jump yesterday. We made the big leap. We took the big step. I took off a shoe. I just went ahead and swished my foot around in the water and went ahead and got in. We bought that stinking pool. I went ahead and contracted to have that thing thrown in the ground behind this. I can't afford it. There's no furniture in this house, and I'm buying a pool. My wife went out and bought a sofa and a bed. Now, we got furniture, but the stuff that we have, I want to be kind. It's, well, let's say it's antique-y. Let's say it's stuff that has been passed down from family member to family member. It's been in the family for 50 years. You know what that means? It means the thing is held together with somebody's, you know, gum. I was going to use another sticky substance, but it's held together with that stuff. It rhymes with gum. And anyway, so this, I got a table, we got chairs. It's all there. It's been in the family for years. It's garbage is what it is, you know? I mean, with all due respect, my wife says, maybe if we refinish it. Refinish it? What do you mean refinish it? How about the, I got an idea, honey, and it's just a thought that I have. What? How about a book of matches? Do you think that that would do some kind of a thing? You know, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Refinish it how? Well, what do you mean? We can lacquer it I think maybe this lighter would help. A lighter and some newspaper. How about you? What are you talking? My poor, beautiful, wonderful wife. She's trying to make it happen. It's going to happen. We got a nice table. She went out. She had it refinished. We bought a sofa. A friend of ours is an interior decorator. She took us looking at stuff. And here's a beautiful sofa. Jeez, this is great. How much? This is $8,000, Phil. And really? Okay. She won't part with the heirloom, so we have to pay $500 a month storage for this stuff. I got a leather sofa from my bachelor days. It needs to be set afire in the middle of a street. It really needs to be, but Maria wants to store it. Well, it's a nice leather sofa, and yeah, but you don't understand. I had this when I was a bachelor. Well, what are you talking about? Read between the lines, woman. I can't have this in a home with children in it. I can't bring this into a home. I gotta set fire to it. No, it's a really nice, it's green leather. For some reason, it made sense at one point in my life. Don't ask me why, but I bought a green leather sofa. What? Well, okay. I can think back now through the freaking haze when I lived in Miami. It made sense then? Don't make no sense now. And it should not be in a home where there are young children doing their homework and enjoying Christmas. This sofa has to be burned. Oh, God, it has to be burned. Schaefer's in there. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. And the only reason why his crap is in his house today with his lovely wife is because there ain't no kids in his house yet. But the minute you start having kids, you know you got to burn that stuff too. Little Catherine, 8 years of age, she shouldn't have to lay her head down and fall asleep on this sofa. And I went to this joint, I forget the name of the place, it was in Miami, it was a furniture place, pretty good place, if you're single and living on the beach, and you're like maybe a couple of steps ahead of the police, and you're doing a radio show, and you're living fairly large, and it's okay, but no, you can't have that if you have a family. So I bought a quote, entertainment center. It's got the white cabinetry and the glass door and the bullcrap, but, you know, you stick it in some houses. I had it in my apartment. It looked fantastic. I put it in the house that I own now, and I would just as soon take a baseball bat to it. I swear to God, a sledgehammer would do wonders for this thing. There's not a chance. I want to throw, you know what I want to do? You put my furniture in my house now, a hand grenade just rolled into the door, closed the door, and walked down the street, and just put your hands over your ear as you hear, you know, and you look back, you see a little bit of smoke coming out from under the door. That's what you do with my furniture. Anybody want to buy it? It's Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Hi, it's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to music from Cirque du Soleil. Many of you are probably familiar with Cirque du Soleil. It is continually performing in Las Vegas, also tours. I don't like Cirque du Soleil. I never have liked Cirque du Soleil, and I'll tell you why. Because there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with the people involved in it. There's something wrong. Did you ever see the movie Freaks? You know the Todd Browning film, which has been referenced more and more in popular culture. It was a film in 1932, 33, something like that. And in it, Todd Browning, brilliant director, the guy who directed Dracula, used actual circus, quote, freaks, end quote, unfortunate people. People who were Siamese twins, one guy with no arms and no legs. There was a bearded lady. I think there was a midget. And there was a very beautiful trapeze artist. And the little midget guy, I think he was a master of ceremonies, a ringleader, one of the ring, the guys that stand in the middle of the ring with a big hat and a whip. He was about 3 feet tall, and he fell in love with the trapeze artist. And she took him for all of his money, or was going to get out of town with a weightlifter and steal all of his money. And one night, in the climactic scene to Freaks, the freaks, who are all friends of the midget, find out about the trapeze artist who's going to steal his money. And through a driving rainstorm, you see the freaks crawling through the mud, slithering across the grass. Driving rainstorm, and they're chasing down the trapeze artist. They're going to show her once and for all what it's like to live as a freak. And then they mess her up, and that's the end of the movie. So, okay, I'm sorry. And they turn her into a chicken. I don't know how they did it, but at the end of the movie, she's sitting in a pen with chicken feathers. Did you see it, Jeff? Oh, you cats got to see this, man. I went and saw this movie, Freaks, at the Los Feliz Theater over here back in 1970 when you guys weren't even freaking born yet. And June Lockhart got out of a limousine. That was the big highlight of the night. Lassie's mom was there. So we went and saw this movie. We saw a Salvador Dali film, and they saw this movie, Freaks. And there's a guy in that movie, right, Mike, who walks around. He has no legs, and he walks around on his hands. He's called Half Boy. And he walks around on his hands. The most amazing part of this film, I got to tell you, seriously, I was very impressed with Torso Man. He rolled and lit and smoked a cigarette, and he had no arms and no legs. Now, you try that, man. Yeah. Next time you start feeling like you want to start pushing people around, you go ahead and try that. Guy's got no arms and no legs, and he took out the paper, flapped it down on the ground. He's doing this all with his mouth. Takes the bag of tobacco, dumps the tobacco into the thing, tightens the bag up with his mouth, rolls it somehow, and then lights the match with his mouth, sticks it in the cigarette in his face, and smokes it, and is completely exhausted from the experience and dies of a heart attack right after the... No, he smokes the cigarette in this movie called Freaks. And at the end of the film, after the trapeze artist takes this little midget for all of his money, the freaks chase her down in the mud. It's one of the most compelling and frightening scenes in all of filmdom. You see these freaks crawling through the mud going, and she's running through the rain, and they finally catch up to her, and you don't see what happens until the end of the movie. She's in this pen, and she's like had her arms and legs cut off and covered with feathers, and she's like a chicken. And Jeff is sitting here laughing. He thinks it's funny. He's going, really? No arms and no legs? Mutilation? Well, when you think, yeah, you're right, it is kind of funny now that I think about it, but at the time it was freaky. Jesus. But at the time I was stoned. You know. Now I'm fine with it. Now I can talk about it. It's okay. At the time we'd smoked some enormous bowl of something. I don't even think it was marijuana. I think it was linseed oil. It's anything that much. You know, smoke enough of anything, you'll get high. I think it was like someone's shirt. You know what it was? It was the drapes from the inside of my friend's apartment. He'd smoked so much dope in there, and the rosin had gone into his drapes. We smoked the freaking drapes. It was fantastic. I got so stoned, I poured a big bowl of Cocoa Puffs. I didn't eat it. I smoked that. And then I went and saw Freaks. And I'm walking out of there. My eyeballs look like a couple of pinwheels. Lassie's mom is back into her limousine, and she's gone away. And we're staggering to the car. I'm going, Jesus, that was a freaky movie. It was Freaks. So this guy, Todd Browning, who also directed the original Dracula with Bela Lugosi, and he did Freaks, and he might have done one or two other movies, he never heard from again. And I don't know what happened to this guy's career. I think he may have died in the early 60s of lung cancer or something like this. Did you ever see Gods and Monsters? It was a movie about James Whale who did Frankenstein. Somebody ought to do a movie about this guy, Todd Browning. Those two guys that did the original Frankenstein and the original Dracula, their lives, like, went into some very bad places. Weird stuff happened to both of them. And there was a biography that was written about Todd Browning, and it came out about 4 years ago, and I showed it to a friend of mine, and he thought I was giving it to him, and he took it, and I never got it back. Neil. I said, hey, Neil, look at this. Oh, thanks a lot. And he took it, put it in his bag, and left. That's the last I saw of my book. Todd Browning. Heavy smoker. But I swear to God, that's just a tip. I don't want any kids out there, you know. But seriously, this guy, there's someone, you know, it was one of those apartments, you know, that your friend has. There's an American flag on the wall. And that was the usual bull crap. And you walk in there, and you could smoke his shirts. You could, anything that was in the house, you could smoke. Because he'd been just sitting there blowing his dope for so long. You could smoke him. As a matter of fact, one night, you know, there was nothing left. They said, take off your underwear, okay? There's probably some rosin in that. So anyway, Neil, mail back my book to Phil Hendry, care of Premier Radio Networks, Sherman Oaks, California. Thank you. How the hell did I get on this? Oh, I know. Cirque du Soleil sucks. I don't, you know, in other words, I don't want to go and see people who can pull an elbow and put it up their anus. Do you want to see that? Do you want to see someone put their own foot up their... You know, I think it was on The Tonight Show. The girl pulled her foot and brought it into her mouth over her back first, though. And everybody says, you got to go see Cirque du Soleil. It's really great. No, I don't want to. I'm scared, and I've got enough nerve and brain damage. I know myself. Okay? I'm not saying it's bad. As a matter of fact, the videos and stuff like that are only $3. Could you order me up a couple? No, I mean, I know myself well enough to know I'd be scared watching that kind of freak action. And all of this. What the hell is that? That's not a circus. Circus has got a lion and a guy playing a calliope. It ain't. What, in the grand finale is they pull out a saber and some guy like self-immolates or something. Sets himself on fire for real. Cirque du Soleil. You gotta go see it. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. This is circus music, okay? Not this. But this. Okay, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, we give the phone number out, but we only put on good phone calls. So far, we've had a lot of people call him, but ain't no good calls, except for the one guy who called up and said, is it telephil that it's resin, not rosin? I was talking about whatever it was that I was talking about having to do with resin, and I said rosin. So there you go. Have you got to be putting me on? A guy called in with that? Tell him it's resin, not rosin? No, man, it's rosin. No, that's the stuff that you put on a baseball. That's right, and I've smoked that too. One 800 449 8686. Because we give the phone number doesn't mean you get to be on the air. I can talk, I can monologue 4 hours, 5 hours of a radio show, and it's far better in most instances than anything you can get on a... And I don't mean this as a personal slap on or slam on anybody's calling in, but it's just, it is. It's just far better. I got experience of this stuff. You guys don't. So the good calls we put on the air, the other ones we humor you and we take your call. Yeah, I'll pass that along to Phil. It's resin instead of resin. Okay, thanks so very much, sir. By the way, sir, yeah, it sounds like I can hear brakes going out. Is that your car? You okay? Look at all the lines lit up, hoping, praying they can get on the air with old Phil. It ain't going to happen. Not tonight. I just made your life a lot more let me have another hit of that. I just made your life a lot worse, Mike. Sure, I smoked weed. Did acid. Shot smack. Snorted coke. Sniffed Energene spot remover. Did downers. Did uppers. Meth. Crank. Crack. Crow. Crud. Creole. I've eaten Creole food and I've done crank. All of those consonants. What's it to you? You think my life's a success? You think this is a bad thing for me to say this? So the young people will say, well, look, Phil Henry's life turned out okay. Why don't I smoke some Creole sauce? Well, the fact is my life sucks. It's no good. I just bought a house I can't afford. Pardon me for just a moment, okay? Okay, great. That was me taking a hit. What are you going to do about that? I know a guy that has a radio show, and he says, take me out with a bong hit. I'm sitting there going, you got to be kidding me, man. You've broken all records for lame. Here you go. Take me out with a bong hit. Great, okay, fine. Put it where with a bong hit? Make me feel good with a bong hit, man. Hey, thanks for calling. So anyway, as I told you, we are moving, and we're moving into a home that I think has... We got a problem because, as I said, I can't afford the... I cannot afford the house, and now I can't afford the pool that I just bought to put into the house. See this call on line two, Mike? See the call on line two? You see that call on... Okay, watch what I'm doing with it. There you go. See that? Okay. When I say I want a certain kind of call, I'm dead serious. Okay? You put a call up there, I can't use that. You know, I'm not kidding. I hear you're a good guy. You're a good man. Don't get me pissed. I've been drinking. So we're moving into the house, as I said, and I can't afford this freaking thing. And now I'm hoping. Now what happened to me is this. I signed the paper on the pool yesterday. I said, okay, go ahead, put the pool in. And the guy says, well, great, Mr. Henry, congratulations. We shook hands. I said, I'm very excited. It's a beautiful design. I'm walking out there. I'm going, I can't afford this. Please, Jesus, let the soil report come up bad. Now, there's a thing that you get called a soil report. When you buy a home, when their construction begins on a home in the state of California, I'm sure it's similar throughout the United States, you have to first conduct a soil report. And I guess that means what kind of, you know, soil are you building the house in? Is it bedrock? Is it fill? Is it landfill? What is it? Okay. Well, also in the state of California, at least in the county of Los Angeles, if you're going to put a pool in the backyard, if you're going to build anything extra, you got to do a whole separate soil report. So now the guy says to me, I need your copy of the soil report. I got to do another soil report. And as I was walking away, I was thinking, I can't afford this pool. I'm a complete ass. Please, Jesus, let the soil report come up bad. Let there be human remains. Let them find Indian burial grounds. How about Love Canal? That's a good one. Cancer. Yeah, baby. And then I thought of the movie Poltergeist. And the guy, I want that to happen to me because let me tell you something. You sign the contract, man, you're locked in pretty solid. The only thing that's going to get you out of a contract is if you're running next door and you're grabbing a guy in a cheap suit by the lapel and saying, you moved the headstones, but not the bodies. That's the only way you get out of a legal deal. Is if you can grab a guy in a cheap blue suit around his lapels and say, you moved the headstones, didn't you? You moved the headstones, but not the bodies. As bodies are popping up in the hole you just dug in the back. That's the way you can get out of a legal contract in the United States, a corpse reanimating and walking out of the pool you just dug. Now, that's the only shot I got. That's the only freaking shot I got, man, is if some night with the wind blowing and me in just pajama bottoms, I come running out of the house, followed by Maria and the kids, screaming at the man I work for or who at my next door, pounding on my next door neighbor's door and saying, "You gotta help me!" As I slide into a muddy hole and I'm embraced by, you know, B. Benaderet or something. I don't know, whoever died recently. Did you see Poltergeist? Okay, that's what he did. He said, "You move the headstones, but not the bodies." I was making a Poltergeist reference. Excuse me. Hi, Miami. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Oh, what a pleasure to talk to you.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm great. My girlfriend and I saw this around 69 or 70 Freaks.
Oh, yeah, cool.
I kept my act together after the movie, but she totally lost it. She was hysterical on the way home in the car.
She was hysterical as in crying?
She was crying. She was having an anxiety attack. And I was trying to keep it together because we were both totally freaked out.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the essential.
That armless sausage man, the black
sausage man who was making the cigarettes.
He looked like a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the big
I never heard of him. I thought he was called Torso Man. Where'd you guys come up with Sausage Man?
Well, he looked to me like a brown sausage.
Yeah.
And
brown Schwager sausage.
He's black.
Yeah, well, that would make sense.
No arms or legs or anything.
The brown sausage man.
Right, with the bald head. And the...
So what was it that she began to... It was very disturbing. You're right. It was
chicken. And they didn't cut her legs. They turned her somehow into a real chicken with a human head. And that's what freaked out my friend Susan.
Oh, you're kidding.
That
what do you mean? She
chicken.
Had like wings and stuff?
Oh, yeah. She was gobbling. Remember? She was and she was pecking around for seeds.
Oh, so now all of a sudden this movie turns into science fiction?
Somehow the freaks contaminated her with their freakness.
And she became a half chicken, half woman.
Oh, she was more than half. She was three-quarters chicken.
You're right. She was about nine-tenths chicken and one-tenth human, just the head.
Right. The head was bigger than the body, but still.
Still, you got to call that one-tenth. I had no idea. That's an interesting view, seriously, of what happened, because all these years I thought some kind of mutilation had taken place.
No, she had chicken legs. Didn't you notice that?
No, I did not. She was a
complete chicken except for her head.
The end of that movie was such a freak out that it was a good thing that I was smoking a lot of dope that night. Otherwise, I probably would have. What happened to you would have happened to me.
Yeah, you were buffered.
I was buffered a little bit, and as it was, I just staggered out into the night and.
I walked
home. I forgot to get in the car. That was about the only thing that happened out of the ordinary.
Yeah, yeah. you were protected. But
I was buffered.
I figured that the reason my friend totally lost it was because she felt that she had somehow been contaminated by the movie. And I felt I wanted to go home and take a shower.
Was she stoned?
Oh, no. We were sober. I mean, we were straight as arrows.
But where is your friend now? Locked up?
She's probably hooking somewhere. I mean, the way she
was. Okay, perfect. Okay, she's probably hooking somewhere.
Right.
30 years later. Great.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, she was on her way then, but the movie I'll never forget because I felt like I wanted to scrape off the...
it's not an unusual feeling because that movie was banned in the United States. It was shown in a few theaters in 1932 when it came out, and then they pulled it out of all the theaters. It had such a disturbing effect on people. It was banned up until, I think, the mid-1960s. When they lifted the ban, and now you can see that you can go and rent the damn thing, and it's pretty kooky. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Uh-huh. Okay, bye. I know you wanted to keep talking, but I'm done. I'm all talked out. So how about that, Mike? How about if I somehow love Canales? God, I can't do the pool. Scott, if you're listening, I can't afford it. Forget it. Hold up on everything. He's going to take me serious now and tear up the paperwork. Great. I'm joking around. But in a lot of ways, you don't want to, in other words, you don't want to do, your instinct is not to spend money. Your instinct, if you're wise and if you're a frugal man such as I, you put money away and you try to do the right thing. And suddenly, it's difficult to change and say, well, you know, these are things you want to do for your family. This is something, it's an investment. Why not go ahead, roll the dice, make the investment, Phil? But I can't do it. And so... if it's built without any contamination found in the soil report, then I'll be a happy guy. But if it isn't, if they find some cancer-causing agent, somebody was dumping Ajax, I don't know what, man, you know, Craig Taylor was out there playing on the sand years ago. Something's wrong with it. Then I'll also be happy. So I can't lose on this deal. I can't lose on it at all. Huh? I'm set. Yeah, I'm set. But that the poltergeist bit's got to happen. And we've got an 8-year-old girl in the house. And if I walk into her room and she's being sucked into a hole in the wall, all the better. It's Phil Hendry's show here, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com is our website. And I don't want to hit this one too hard, but there's been, you know, for the last, I don't know, what, about a year, a couple of companies have been interested in doing a TV show. And I know when you say TV show, oh, okay, so your stuff doesn't stink anymore. Is that right, Phil? So what are you going to do, TV now? No, but they wanted to know, well, have you got any ideas, Hendry? No, I don't have any ideas. But they're very nice people, and they want to know, well, what could we do with the Phil Hendry Show on television? And I said, put me in a wheelchair. That's all I ask. Let me do what I want to do on TV more than anything is I want to free wrongfully convicted people in an hour-long drama sitting in a wheelchair. And they go, you're talking about a drama. Yeah, well, we didn't have that. Well, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Why can't I? No, you can't. No, you can't. Here is Glendale on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hi, this is Samantha Hart.
How are you, Samantha?
Great. I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
Good. I wanted to talk quickly about Todd Browning, the director of Freaks.
Right.
He did suffer an abused childhood. He ran away to a circus.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm the author of the Hollywood Walk of Fame book.
I have not seen your book, the Hollywood Walk of Fame book.
You will in a couple of months. We'll do all that.
Terrific. But, in other words, before we get into it, but just so we know, you've written anecdotes or stories or short stories about each and every star that's on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Okay. And Todd Browning has a star. And what happened was he knew all these types of people because he worked in circuses.
Yeah.
When he actually became the horror king at Universal Studios with his classic Dracula in 1931, it just was box office gold. So Universal decided not to review any of his scripts. That gave him free rein in this project he'd wanted to do for a long time, Freaks. And so that was the incredible result. Now, remember, during this time...
Can I ask you something, Samantha? This was after Dracula was a big hit.
Yeah, Dracula was 1931, Freaks was 1932.
So they said to him, kid, you got full reign.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, because it was gold.
Right.
Now, remember, one of the reasons why Dracula was so popular was this was the Great Depression. Everybody was starving to death, and they were so upset that when they went to the movies and they were even, you know, upset even more, and then at least when they walked out of the theater, they could say, oh, well, at least we're not being, our blood isn't being sucked out of our throat.
Well, little did they know the bank that they were using.
Well, there you go.
All right, so they walk out of the theater.
Yeah, and then they could.
And they were starving, and here's a guy eating a full, fresh meal.
They felt relieved. So then he did Freaks, and actually England had it banned until the 1970s, I believe.
Wow.
But the whole point about Freaks was that Todd Browning wanted to show that the true freaks were the beautiful people who were really sociopaths.
Right.
The cruel people, those were the freaks.
Right.
And that these poor, innocent, genetic accidents, that they were kind and good people.
Was there an epilogue of some kind at the end of that film? Did he scroll? Was there something scrolled at the end of the film?
Well, I was drinking Cabernet, so I can't remember that.
Okay. None of us remember seeing this movie in the right frame of mind. But I thought he actually almost spelled it out at the end of the film. And so, good viewer, the real freak is the person. I thought in those days... They would do that, you know, because they thought the audience was such a colossal bunch of idiots that we wouldn't get it any other. So the moral of the story is, but yeah, you get that very obviously, that she was a really odious and hateful person. And there was a really great actor in that movie, Wallace Ford, who played the clown who befriended the freaks.
Yeah, it's a tremendous movie.
He was a good guy, and then there was a lady who was a good person, you know, like normal people, and they befriended the freak. I thought he was a hell of an actor because he had to interact with these people, and, you know, most people would be put off by that. But here's this actor, Wallace Ford, who was having to interact with Torso Man and mm-hmm. the Pinhead people, and he was loving and caring and friendly with them and hugging them. And
very touching.
Yeah, man. I mean, beautiful. He was a terrific actor.
Yeah, and those were so beautiful. Some of those scenes were so moving. Oh.
So you guys got to go out and rent this movie and then buy Samantha's book, the Hollywood Walk of Fame book.
Yeah, and we'll talk some more when it comes out, because a lot
well,
of fun
stories. Well, if we decide to put you on the air.
Oh.
But so you've got stories about everybody that's on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Everybody.
You got a story in there about Rick Dees?
Yes.
Well, okay. I'm buying the book then.
All right.
Hey, Samantha, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? You want to get that Hollywood Walk of Fame book? They got the whole Rick Dees story in there. In 1932, Rick appeared in a film called Freaks, and in it... So anyway, was I talking about the house? Oh, yeah, getting back to the house. Also, the one that I'm selling has a tree. We got a willow tree in the backyard. Great-looking willow tree, but it's got rot at the root of the thing. It's insect crap that's happened to this tree. People buying the house, they love the tree. They want us to just check out what's wrong with the tree. So I had an arborist come by today. Real regular guy, real nice guy, and he's a certified arborist, which is like a tree doctor. And he says, well, what you got there, Mr. Hendry, is some insect infestation. What we'll do is give it some injections and, wipe its ass and send it home. And he's talking about the tree like it's, well, it is a real person. And so we're going to take care of the tree. And he said, well, we can give it injections. It'll be $145. And I'm saying, okay, I'll buy that. I mean, I'll go ahead and pay for that. Keep in mind, I'm selling the house, and all the people who are buying the house asked for was just to evaluate what was wrong with the tree so they would know. But Henry goes, yeah, that's great. Could you write that up and give the diagnosis and what the treatment is, how much it'll be? I'll pay for it. They're going to come out next week and do it. I tell my wife this, and she's like, what are you? Are you a complete idiot? What? What do you mean, what? What do you got to go ahead and spend the $145? Let them spend it. I said, I just felt it would be the right thing to do. She says, look, they're going to do a home inspection. They're probably going to nickel and dime us to death. You're going to spend $145 fish on this? And by the way, if the people who are buying our house are listening, I'm kidding about the nickel and dime us to death part. I made that up. That's just poetic license. She never said it. And then she said, and those people buying a house, what complete and utter... I'm joking. I'm kidding. But I went ahead, I spent the $145. She says to me, this is what is wrong with you, Henry. You spend money unnecessarily. You didn't need to do that. All they want us to evaluate, that's $145. I said, well, there's a suffering tree. Oh, yeah, right. It's got nothing to do with you being a suffering tree. It's the fact, how did you feel? So Schaefer asked me the question, well, how did you feel about doing it? I said, I felt good about it. The tree is going to be okay. Well, then feel good about it. Me and my wife, who's a nice lady, but she's like, oh, boy. Oh, why did we have to get married? Why couldn't I have just said no? I got a picture of my wife in the office, by the way. I brought that picture. Did you see it, Craig? It's very tasteful. It's a picture of me and Maria the day we got married. And Schaefer says, well, that's very nice. And I was kind of embarrassed. I said, well, I don't want to put it up in the office. And Schaefer says, why? I said, well, the guys will make fun of me. He says, well, you know, I'm going to bring a picture of me and my wife in. I said, well, no, you're not. He says, what are you talking about? I said, you're going to put a picture of you and your wife in here? Well, what's that desk going to look like, man? You and your old lady, Taylor and his girlfriend, me and my wife. Hey, Jeff, you want to bring a picture of your girlfriend in? We'll have like five different things. What's it going to look like, man? A commune? And here we all are together. We're brothers. Have you got it right there? Oh, isn't that sweet? The guy's got a picture of him and his wife in a little heart-shaped frame sitting next to the telephone. Well, actually, Gretchen, I'm making that up. It's actually on the floor someplace. But it's very nice. And you have that there, why? To remind yourself that you're married just in case you get lost going home tonight? Okay, I got it. She's a very nice lady. You're a very lucky guy. She's a very lucky girl, but you're luckier than she is. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We got a couple of good calls out of that hour. Tremendous.